Well, I want to thank you all for coming. We got a lot of work to do today, so I hope you all got your coffee and ready to get to work. I met with the owner and his personal representation last night. We got the plans all ready to go, but the Mr. P, the owner's representation, wanted to come up and say a couple words before we get started with our meeting this morning.
Good morning, Mr. P. Oh, that's a good one. I like that. Yeah. No, I was the owner was speaking with me, so he wanted me to bring something. And he said he's pleased with everyone and the work that you're doing. And he says he loves the pathway into the garden that's there and some well-placed stones along the pathway and a beautiful fountain in the midst of the garden that you've brought forth. And he also says that stream that runs through the garden, you planted a tree there, and that thing is actually growing and bearing fruit. So he's really, really blessed and really pleased with your work and everything that's going on, and he wants to encourage you. Keep up the good work.
Okay, we got some work to do today, and I got Miss E going to come up, and she's going to share about all the materials we got to get together to build today.
Well, today we're going to be working on the bathroom, and the bathroom, I have procured the fixtures and the tile for the floors and the showers and all this stuff. There's, you know, a paint that's been chosen for the wall that is that will complement all the fixtures and the other things really well. And so the details are all coming together. We have all these things in place. If you have any questions, just ask me about it, and I'll be happy to answer your questions.
Okay. We also got some new equipment in, and the new equipment's all ready to go, but they're a little complicated, so I got Miss T's going to come up. She's read all the manuals, and if you got any issues with the new equipment, you can speak with her about it.
So today we are going to be installing a bathroom, the whole thing. So here's your instruction manual. Make sure you read it well. Follow the outline, 1, 2, 3. And I want you to remember three things while you're doing it. Our objective is to make this bathroom. Our materials, we got the new materials. I got one of them here. You're going to have to look at it. And then the method. This is going to tell you how to do it, in what order you have to do it, and if you don't follow it, it's just not going to work out, so make sure you follow it. This is my everything tool. It does everything you want. It drills, it cuts, it... There's nothing in the front. And it's a new technology. It's voice activated. So just make sure, I'm going to spell this, but just make sure you don't say this word, O-N. Don't say that. Because you could be anywhere and it would turn on.
Thank you, Ms. T. That was great. We got a lot to do today, but one last thing. We've been having a few interpersonal relationship issues, so I got Ms. P's going to come up and speak to that for us.
Good morning. Well, I just want everybody to know that I've already set up a few meetings, and I'm prepared to counsel, and I am sure that this bathroom is going to turn out great. The sink will be working. Oh, and during our meeting, I'm going to ask my wife if she'll make us some comfort food, some roast chicken, some mashed potatoes with gravy and green beans. And so then I'm sure after the meeting and we hash everything out, that the bathroom is going to be working. It's going to have a working toilet, a working sink, a working tub. The light fixtures are going to be working, and there'll be no disputes among us. We're going to just flush all that away in Jesus' name.
All right, thank you so much for coming on time. I hope you enjoyed your coffee, and now let's get to work, okay? Well, after that, we probably ought to pray. Yeah, yeah. All right. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are always with us and you never leave us or forsake us. We just ask that you would teach us from your word today and help us to understand you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Again today, I want to talk about God the Builder. I've never heard anybody quite put it this way, but God is a builder. And the main scripture that I started with last time is in Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. It says, The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and all things exist, says the Lord. But this one thing I'm looking for, him who is poor and of contrite spirit, who trembles at my word. You see, God is looking for a house. He's looking for a place of rest. And what we see from this is that he's not able to create it. He has to build it. So what we talked about last time is that the reason that he has to build it is that it's spiritual and it's not physical. See, everything else he created by a word, all the physical things we see all around us. But what he wants for himself is spiritual, so he has to build it. And what we saw is that it took him, not that he's slow, but he's got a lot of preparation to do with us, is it took him 4,000 years to lay the foundation. And what we saw last time is that stone that the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone, and that's Christ Jesus. It's amazing to think that it was 4,000 years. And if we look through the Old Testament and Old Testament history and all the things that he was teaching, revealing about himself all through that time period, it was all to begin to be able to lay the foundation, which is Christ Jesus. But what I want to talk about is that today is the building. But before I go into that, I wanted to just have a better discussion about the foundation, because we talk primarily that Christ is the chief cornerstone, but in Ephesians 2:20 it says that we have built a foundation, having been built on the foundation of the apostle and prophet, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. So there's two other things that are in the foundation besides Christ Jesus being the cornerstone. And those two things are the ministry of the apostle and the ministry of the prophet. And I wanted to explain why those things are in the foundation. And as our personal foundation, they need to be in our lives as well. The apostle has a couple of definitions that you could go with. In 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 3:9, it talks about that we are God's fellow workers, we are God's fields, we are God's building, according to the grace that God has given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and that's Paul speaking with that. Now, my personal feeling is that I'm not sure everyone who's an apostle is a master builder, and a wise master builder like Paul was. I think he had a unique apostleship where he laid out what the structure or what the church would look like. But everyone who is an apostle goes with the other definition, which is one who's sent on a mission. And that's the primary definition of what a prophet or what an apostle is one who's sent out on a mission. The example of that is like, you know, Robin sends Andy down to the store to buy some milk, and she gives him the money to go and says, go down to the store and buy the milk. And so he's being one who sent, he's being an apostle, and he goes down and he purchases the milk according to what his mother said, and nothing more, no candy. And he needs to bring back the milk to accomplish the mission. And so this is a primary thing in our foundation, or in the foundation of the church, is to be sent by God out on a mission. That brings me to Matthew 7:21-23. Where it talks about that, you know, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, and speaks and prophesies in my name, cast out demons, have done any of these, done wondrous things in my name, Jesus said, I don't know you. And then he explains why he doesn't know them, because they're practicing lawlessness. See, we can have spiritual gifts, we can have spiritual ministries, and even cast out demons and do wonders, and yet we can do them by our own will, using the name of Jesus. So the point is that Jesus was never lawless. Jesus, it says in the Bible, that he only did what he saw the Father do. So he only did what he was sent on the mission to do. So this is part of the foundation, that the church would only do what God is telling them to do. But the other point is that we need the prophetic ministry. We need to hear the voice of God. So part of the foundation is now hearing what God is saying by the Spirit, and then then go and do what we hear God do. And this is the foundation. Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone, and hearing from God and doing only what he tells us to do. So now if we start to begin to think about church history, what we see is a lot of mixture. We see God, we see people behaving and doing according to what's on the foundation, and then we see people doing similar works that may look the same, but they're doing it on their own accord. In 1 Corinthians 2:11, it talks about that, for what man knows the things of the man but the spirit of the man? And he's saying the same is for God. The only one who can know God is the Spirit of God. But then it says, but we have received the Spirit of God that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. See, the whole point of what God is doing in that he's building is a spiritual house. It's a spiritual dwelling. So that creates a lot of problems for man, because man isn't able to build anything in the spirit. We can only build things in a physical way. And we do it all the time. One thing we did, we reconstructed this building here, and that was almost, to me, I always think of a church building like a car, a family car. You know, you if you don't have a family car, it's fine. You still have a family, right? And the family can get here to there, maybe by their own legs or get a taxi. But if you have a family car, it's easier to get around. And the family can travel from this way or that way, and they enjoy things by getting in their family car and being able to move and go where they need to go. But the car is not the family. It's only a vehicle for the family. And that's what we call church, is often we are misrepresenting what the church really is, in that we're talking about it as a physical building. So in Ephesians 2:22 it says, being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. See, what God is doing is building a spiritual house. And the reality is that only God can do that. In the scripture it says, Christ says, I will build my church. See, only God can build what he wants for himself. And the reality is, if we go back and reread that second part of Isaiah 66:2, it says he's going to use the poor and contrite a spirit, those who tremble at my word. See, that's the apostolic calling, to tremble at his word, to hear God's word and then do it, to begin to function in only what God is calling us to do. So only God can build this. And that creates a problem for men. Because as you look through history, we see God begins to move in the Spirit and he reveals something and a new understanding comes. And then man comes along and he tries to build something alongside it. He builds something alongside it and then he calls that God's building. You know, I've been struggling with this message in that I'd like to stand up here and describe what God is building. And the reality is that I can't, and I'm not sure anybody else can either, because it's a spiritual thing. And my carnal mind, a finite mind, can't really comprehend what God is doing. I personally think that when man comes along and he builds something on his own, you know, it's a little bit like a scaffolding that you build to help you build. So, you know, that I think that's a little bit the way denominations have formed, or other organizations like missionary organizations have come along, and they are like a scaffolding that is put up to help you build. I'm being generous, right? So understand that I'm being generous with this analogy. And if you disagree with it, that's fine. But the point is that some of those organizations have helped spread the gospel. And so what happens is, after a while, the people who built the scaffold start to think the scaffold is the church. And all it is a temporary thing to help to build the building. And eventually it'll be torn down and either reused or thrown into the fire and consumed. And that we've seen a lot of that with old denominations that are completely corrupt now, mission organizations that have died and gone away, and yet underneath that, in the hearts of men, God is building something that's permanent. And without spiritual eyes, we don't see it. And the world does not see it because they do not have spiritual eyes. And yet God is forming something. He's building something. The scripture gives us to try to help us understand what God is building, this spiritual thing. It gives us several word pictures for us to try to comprehend it. And the one that is particularly loved by the Apostle Paul is the Christ is the head and we are the body word picture. And with that, he uses that to help us understand how we need to relate to one another and how each part is needed by one another. You can read this, and you know, you guys all know the scripture in 1 Corinthians 12. It goes through and explains how the spiritual gifts work and how the Spirit works with each part and gives direction and gives so the parts can be connected and built together. I particularly like the way he says it in 1 Corinthians 12, 11. It says, but one and the same Spirit working all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I love that because it brings out two points, is that the Holy Spirit is distributing the gifts and distributing understanding to different members, and so that we could be one, and yet he does it as individuals. And so it's not just a collective that we're talking about, but as individual personalities in the collective. Yeah. But the collective, I hate that word personally. It's unity that he's bringing, and we see that in 13. We see the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." See, the Spirit's job is to submerge us or baptize us, to put us into the Spirit so that we can all be one, body. And it's a beautiful word picture. In 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 4, he's talking about Jesus, come to him as to a living stone, rejected by man. See, he's the chief cornerstone, and chosen and precious by God. And you also are living stones being built together into a spiritual house, a royal priesthood. See, here's another picture where now we're stones being built into a building, but they're not just physical stones. He says they're spiritual because it's a spiritual dwelling. This picture is a beautiful picture as well, that it's one thing it's not a brick, you know, which is all the same size, all the same dimensions, all the same material, but we're living stones which are all different in size and different shapes, and it's more difficult to fit them in, and yet the Holy Spirit is like the mortar put in around them. Sometimes the mason has to take off a sharp edge or change the stone a little bit, and we've talked about that and related to the process of what God puts us through to have us fit into this spiritual building. And then the last one, which is not so much a word picture, but is really a picture of who we are, it says that we're a royal priesthood. I personally think this is a picture more closely to what we do and what we are than the other ones which are a physical thing. But it's also one that's much easier or have been confused more in our thinking as of men because they've made priest into something that's separate from the body. And so, but yet the idea of a priest or a later it talks about us as a holy nation, and it's a picture of a nation or a people that have joined together under a king, and it's a priesthood which comes with responsibilities and duties, and that's a better picture, an additional picture to what we are as his body or as his church. But I would like to make an observation with you with each of these things and have us fully begin to comprehend what God is doing. Because if we start talking about the body and it says that Christ is the head, well, you know what? The head is part of the body, right? So, you know, it's attached, right? It's part of the body. So when we talk about the body, we're including the head. But so what we see is that Christ is part of what is being built, part of the thing that God wants, and yet he has a very specific role. In this case, we see that the head is the one who is controlling and giving direction to the rest of the body. So it's the Holy Spirit that's knitting us together and distributing gifts, but it's Christ who's giving the direction, like the brain gives our hands direction to know what to do, and he's the one who understands what the body is supposed to be doing besides just, you know, my brain can tell me to flip over the page, but my brain also knows why I'm flipping over the page, right? So there's the head is in complete consciousness of everything about the body, where me as a hand only knows that it was told to turn over the page. So the next one is of the living stones, and what we see is that Christ is also a living stone, but he's a special stone in that he's the chief cornerstone. So again, we see that Christ is part of what God is building, and he's a very specific part in the foundation. Then last, as us as priests, we see that he, in another scripture, it tells us that he is the high priest. So he has a very specific role in our priestly duties as what the church is about and what God is building. As he has a very specific role where he's interceding for all us priests between the Father and us. So this is what God is building, and he's using very specific things to give in us equipment, the ability for us to grow, to change. And we see that in 1 Corinthians that he gives us spiritual gifts so that men can start to have faith in what God is building. And so there's words of knowledge, and there's spiritual gifts, and there's healing for our physical bodies that helps us grow faith and helps us to appreciate one another more, that we all need to be praying for one another and using those priestly responsibilities and praying for one another. It's such a beautiful thing that begins to grow and our fellowship together is the Greek word for that is koinonia, which is a picture of one part being tied to another part, and it gives spiritual growth to both sides. So it's a connection that is spiritual, and that's what our true fellowship is about, is a spiritual connection where we're sharing life with one another. But he also gives us ministry gifts, and those we see some of those in Ephesians 4, and in this church we've talked a lot about the fivefold ministry. The skit, if you didn't figure it out, is that's what they were. I was the apostle giving out the working with the owner with the plans and getting them all ready. And what we see is that these ministry gifts were all given to the church as to equip the saints for the work of service. And that was for the edification of the body. See, Paul loves the body picture, right? The edification of the body of Christ, until we all become to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What a mouthful. Do you understand that Christ is built? God is building Christ with us, or us being built with Christ. And what it's saying is that Christ is not complete until we are all built in. See, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, these ministries, all these five ministries are given so that we can all grow as one into that stature, which is the fullness of Christ. One of my other favorite scriptures says a very similar thing, and it's in Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read that. It says in 22, it says, "And he, putting all things under his feet, has given him to be head over all things to the church." And that's Christ. So Christ has been given all things to put under his feet, to be the head of all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. See, I look at it like a marriage, right? Before I was married, I was a complete man. And if I never got married, that would have been fine. I still would have been Wayne Zimmerman, the complete man. But when I got married, I became one with my wife. And now my wife completes me. And so that's what it's talking about here, is that that the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. So the church is filling up Christ until he becomes who he desires to be, one with his bride. Another word picture for us to help us comprehend what God is doing. And it's a beautiful picture because we understand what a marriage should be, though it's difficult for us to all get there. It takes work. But the point is that we see a husband and wife when they're in complete unity together. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And this is the picture that God is giving us with us and himself. So what God is doing is that he's building. In the midst of all the things that we think are chaos all around us, of all the nations that are arguing and fighting and sending out all kinds of messages, and amongst disasters of epidemics and disease and all the other things that are going on around our earth because of sin, the sin of men, God behind that is building a spiritual dwelling for himself. And you and I, as individual and now corporately, are being built in. The scripture tells us that whoever the Father puts in Christ's hands, he will not lose. You know, Romans 8 tells us what can come against us if we're in Christ Jesus. Nothing. No plague, no disaster, no storm that was even mentioned today, whatever that means. See, if we have faith in Christ, if we turn our hearts totally over to him, we are not lawless. We are not full of that sin. Though, at times, I do my own agenda, I must admit, and I'm sure you do too. You think you heard from God, or maybe you just want to do what you want to do, and you act lawless. But in that scripture we read where Jesus says, I do not know you, you who practice lawlessness. See, there's a difference between someone who is a believer that occasionally will do his own will versus someone who Christ does not know and they practice. In other words, they always do what they think is right. But by the grace of God, he's gave us his Holy Spirit so we can know the mind of God and begin to understand the mysteries of life. Paul tried to explain this mystery, and the best words he came up with, which are beautiful, he says, Christ within me, the hope of glory. He called that a mystery because it truly is a mystery how the Spirit of the living God lives in me and in you. And then not only does that, but then starts to build us together in a way that we fit. Taking off Bruce's rough edges and drilling a hole maybe in my issues to fit us together. It's a spiritual thing. That's the thing I want to drive home today, that this building that God is doing is not a physical building. We cannot build it with an organization. It cannot be a man's organization. Because man cannot build it. It's spiritual. So we get together on a Sunday morning or a Friday night or a Wednesday or Thursday, whatever it is, and we do it for different reasons, and yet God is doing something in our midst. And we start to feel that unity with each other. We start to understand that we're family, and we start to relate to each other differently. I mean, I'm doing this building project, which is where we started with this. And, you know, if I'm lacking a tool, I always got somebody showing up giving me a tool, right? Well, without any restraints or conditions. See, that's family. That's family. Because in a family, ownership is for everyone. And so whatever I have, you can have. I give it to you freely. It says that God gives us His Spirit freely. If He gives us salvation and forgiveness freely, then I need to give it to all of my brothers and sisters freely. So He's building this thing that is something that is beyond physical. See, family is beyond physical, isn't it? Right? You know, it's more than just blood, but blood family helps us understand the concept of how we need to relate to one another as family. But then when Christ comes, because He is the head, He is our Father, then we all become brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters with different roles or different jobs. Just like Christ is my brother, and yet He has a different role than mine. Thank God. Oh, how we need Him. So we are being built into a spiritual house. And we need to remind each other of this all the time. Because in our thinking, it's all physical. In our carnal nature, it's all physical. That's all that the world thinks about, is a physical process. And yet God has placed us in a spiritual process. And with that, it becomes beyond us. It becomes beyond our thinking. And that's why God, I think, is being generous in Ephesians, excuse me, in 55. Isaiah 55, it says His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, because ours are physical and His is spiritual. And unless we start to take on His thoughts, which are spiritual, we cannot understand what God is doing. So I want to leave us with that today, to help us understand that we are in a spiritual process. And that spiritual process, though, does affect our natural bodies, our natural place. When I'm at peace with God, my body's doing better. I'm able to sleep better at night. I'm able to enjoy life better, all the things that are around me. And when I'm in a spiritual place, you know, I find nature more beautiful and everything about what God has given me in my life more understandable. So we, the world, somewhat understands that, and they try to simulate some of that. And you know, some of Eastern religions and meditation and all of that stuff is trying to simulate something in the spirit. But without God, it's just a small band-aid over a big problem they have. So Lord Jesus, We thank you that you are building us together for a dwelling place of you in the Spirit. We thank you for that, O God. And we are awed at that you are using us. We are also the stones that the builders have rejected, and you have placed us in your building, and you've called us precious. So we thank you for that, Lord, that you are with us, and you will never leave us or forsake us, because we are part of your desire. We are part of your big picture. We are part of everything that you decided before time began. You said that we would be a part of you. So you made us. You made us with a spirit. And you gave us understanding of who you are. So thank you, Lord, for creating us in your image and giving us what we need so that we can be built into you. We appreciate that so much. It's hard to even comprehend it. And Lord, we just want to come to that place where we grow into that full stature of that perfect man that you desire to have, O God. So give us this day our daily bread, and also continue to build us into what you are doing. In Jesus' name. Amen.